just began to sing. Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to
seated, please. This afternoon we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. So if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to that. Psalm 103. It's one of those very encouraging psalms that helps to build us up. It says this: praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repairs according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. When the wind blows over it, it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. It's interesting how often the psalmist comes out with praise the Lord. He's got it so many times there just in that short psalm. Why is he saying praise the Lord so many times, do you think? Well, if you look at the rest of the psalm, I think it gives you all the answers. He forgives all our sins. He pours out his love upon us. He fills us with love, and so on. It just keeps going on throughout the whole psalm. But first of all, a serious question. How seriously do you take sin? You find the challenge comes throughout the scriptures and every book in the Bible. I think when we sin, we so often think we can do it in isolation without anyone knowing or watching or seeing us. But when we sin, we don't just sin against ourselves. We sin amongst our relatives and our friends. We sin against the community. Much more importantly, when we sin against God. And how heavy a burden is that sin that you carry? Does it grieve you? Because that's what we're told to, how we're told to look at sin. It's actually denying God, arguing with God, being angry with God sometimes. We're doing what we want rather than what God wants. And when we do these things, how heavy is that sin in our lives? Is it a burden? Or do we just sort of stifle our consciences and hope nobody finds out? And how often do you repent of your sins? I remember when I was much younger, I had a friend who was Roman Catholic, and he used to go to his church every Friday and confess the sins of the week. I'm not suggesting we slavishly do that, but I do suggest that we do it quickly. You don't have to wait till Friday if it's a Sunday. You can confess sins to God at any time. His ear is always opened to hear what it is we have done wrong. Why? Because he wants to forgive us. He wants to restore the relationship between us and him. So often we don't give ourselves that moment of quiet to reflect on what we've said, what we thought, what we've done. We seem to be in such a busy world at this time, we just keep rushing around, sitting here, sitting there, and just keep moving. And so many Christian people, I'm talking about Christian people here, carry their sins around with them, day by day, week by week, year by year. Why? Why do we do that? God is there all the time. He's always longing for us to come to him so that our relationship can be restored. When we confess our sins to God, he doesn't say, well, I'll wait till next year and then say, are you looking then? Told that when we confess and repent of our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins. It's good, isn't it? But so why do we wait? So often we spend time sort of rushing around in shame and guilt and sorrow maybe. Why not come quickly to God to restore that relationship? We just heard in Psalm 103 that God does forgive us our sins. And Jesus died on the cross so that those sins might be forgiven. Now how serious is that? The Son of God being crucified so that you and I could have our relationship with God restored. so that we can be set free from the shame, set free from the guilt and the sorrow and all the rubbish that goes along with it. So today I want to say, let's get smart. Let's be quick to get rid of any sin that there is in our lives. Don't hang on to it. And if we don't confess them to God, we're actually allowing the enemy to put a barrier between us and God. We're sending a message to the devil, if you like, saying, yeah, we're happy about the sin in our lives. We can live with that. We want to cling on to them. I pray that's not true of anyone here. We need to be smart and to be quick to come before the Lord in prayer and repentance and confession so that our lives can be restored with him. And another thought about sin. When we sin, we're making an agreement with the devil, giving him license to enter our lives whenever he chooses. If you can think of your body sort of like this, and not like mine intently, but if you think of your body that you have, when we sin, we're actually opening a door into our heart. And if we're caring about sin that we haven't confessed, every time we try to do something for God, every time we try to grow, the devil just puts his finger and sends us back down again. We need to seal that door to give the enemy no room whatsoever to come into our lives and spoil us. We're children of God. All of us who have given our faith and our trust and our love to the Lord Jesus, we walk as his ambassadors. One of the other side effects of sins, if we carry on to them, we go around with guilt and shame. That actually spoils us. It takes away the joy of salvation that should be ours. We as Christians should be joyful. We should be joyful. But so often we allow things that are wrong in our lives to kill that joy, to spoil it. God wants to free us. And as the psalmist says, God redeems your life from the pit. So what is the pit like? What are the options? Well, if you read the story of Lazarus in Luke 16, it says this. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, 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 Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded they will rise from the dead. It's a very telling story that Jesus told, isn't it? People often think of, I think cartoonists have done a great deal of damage to the Christian message. So often when you talk about the devil or things like that, they have these little characters with forks and a smile on their face and everything else to try and make it a sort of a jokey thing. But actually I think it works against Christianity, I think. It sort of plays down how serious this whole question of is, the whole question of sin and shame and guilt and repentance. It makes it all sort of jokey, not serious. So what is this place of torment? One of the examples that Jesus gave, and the name he gave, was Gehenna. Now, I don't know if you know what Gehenna was. It's not a very nice place. But outside Jerusalem, there's this huge sort of ravine, big dip in the ground, huge ravine, and all the people of Jerusalem take their rubbish and they throw it into this, down into the thing, and there's always a fire burning there, an everlasting fire. The smoke is always going up. Every day, smoke goes up from Gehenna. And that's the description that Jesus gave to some of his disciples about what hell is like. That doesn't bear thinking about, does it? Not for me, anyway. And that place of separation from God, how terrible, isn't it, if we couldn't be in touch with God? Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved from the pit. We're saved from hell. As the psalmist said, you just heard it, God redeems your life from the pit. And one of the amazing things in about sin and confession and repentance is this, that in spite of all the bad things I've done in my life, God still loves me. When I was still doing bad things, God actually addressed me and spoke to me and brought me to that place of faith. Now, if I was God, I'd think, oh, rubbish, let him go. But God doesn't. God sees each one of us as his creation. Each one of us is his son and his daughter. And it's never too late, whilst we're here on this earth, to confess and make that relationship right with God. God is still willing, still desiring to forgive and to forget. Again, in that psalm, we're told he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad that God doesn't sit there with a little book like some teachers do, put all the little things you've done wrong and tick them off as you go down. God doesn't do that. When he forgives us, we start afresh with God, with a clean sheet, because he loves us. He wants us to have fellowship and a relationship with him. The psalmist goes on, God crowns you with love and compassion. What is this compassion? I think it's something about what I was just talking about, is that God understands when we go astray. He doesn't like it, he hates it, but he longs for us to come and confess it so that we can be cleansed and walk as children of God. God loves you. If we added all the things, if we had a screen up here and we added up all the things we've done wrong in our lives, I wouldn't say we'd have a laugh, we'd probably go screaming out of the place. But the good thing is that God has dealt with the wrong things in our life. He wants to continue to do that so that we walk with him day by day. And that's part of his great love for us, that he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't wash his hands and say, oh, no, look what they've done now, forget it. He doesn't do that. We do it to each other as humans, but God does not do it to us. He's pouring out his love upon each one of you. Question is, can you feel it? Are you aware of it, of just how much God loves you? It's not just about knowing it. It's about knowing it in your heart, how much God loves you. How do we know how much he loved us? Because he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross at Calvary. That's how much he loves you. And God promises too that our youth is restored like the eagles. When you get to my age, that's a good one to hold on to. Your youth is restored like the eagles. It doesn't take away your age, but it does give you a new life in your inner being. I remember, this is a true story of a man, missionary friend in India. He went around telling people about Jesus in the north of India. And in one of these little villages he came to, what they happened was someone gets old, they think it's no point going off feeding them because they're probably going to die soon. So they stick them out in the road. They sit cross-legged and slowly wait for the sun and everything else to take advantage of them and for them to die. And this missionary came upon this man sitting on the road. He said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm old. They're not going to feed me. And they've left me out here to die. This poor man had no teeth, no hair, and looked very bronzed and old. And the missionary said, well, you know, God can do something about this. Give your life to Jesus and see what happens. Okay then. So he prayed with this guy and told him about Jesus, how he died on the cross for him, and how God wanted to bless him. This man started growing hair. He got a new set of teeth. And about 3 weeks later, he got up and started walking around other villages telling people about Jesus. His youth was restored. He didn't go any younger, but his youth was restored. That's what God can do. And I think there's more too. The psalmist tells us not to forget all his benefits. Well, relationship with God, the only true God, is surely one of the great benefits. Do you realize that God is always waiting to hear from us, from you, from me, from each one of us? We have the ear of God. There's a benefit. the God who made the world and everything in it, who made you too. God, I believe, wants to be in touch with us daily in our prayer life. And so often as Christians, we can sometimes get by without praying. We can move along and get busy and doing things here and there and everywhere. I mean, it's so easy to leave God out in some sense, isn't it? But God wants us to have a daily relationship with him. Not just at the fag end of the day either. He wants us to be conscious of his presence with us, whatever we're doing, wherever we are. And each day he's pouring out his love upon you. God does not stop pouring out love upon you. Look at the other blessings. We've already looked at forgiveness of sins. What about the gift of the Holy Spirit? All the gifts that God gives to us as his church. Daily guidance. So many people say, I don't know what to do. I say, ask God. We can have that insight of divine wisdom when we're at a loss or a crossroads, not knowing which way to turn. Message of knowledge. Faith. Not faith in Christ, but faith to do things for Christ. Faith that actually takes us doing things we'd never dream of doing. Faith to stand up when everything looks bleak and black. Faith that stands as a daughter or a son of God. He gives us gifts of healing, miraculous powers of prophecy, speaking in tongues, all work of the Holy Spirit, all gifts that God is pouring out upon us as his church. And there's more. The promises are not just for you. God promises that his blessings will also rest on your children and your grandchildren. And if you read the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, you'll find that where those who love the Lord, he'll bless you to 1,000 generations. 1,000. We struggle to work at our ancestry for 3 or 4 generations back. Well, perhaps you don't, but I do. But God promises to 1,000 generations he'll pour out his blessing upon you if you're a faithful son or faithful daughter of his. That should thrill your heart. God has so much to give us. And this psalm should enlighten us, should build us up in the faith, should just affirm that love that God has for you. Don't take it for granted. Keep short accounts with God. Don't allow the enemy space in your life to spoil your life here in the church, here on earth. And God simply wants the best for you. Sadly, today, so many Christians settle for mediocrity. So-so, I can get by, I can get along like this. It's not what God wants. He wants the best for you. That's what he wants to give us. That's why the psalmist ends with praise the Lord. He mentions it again and again. Praise the Lord. When you read the story of David and all that he went through, how God brought him through out of tremendous sin and difficulties, he's still eager to praise the Lord. I pray that may be true of us, that we may be a praising people. So easy to be a silent people. I believe God wants to be a praising people. People who go around blessing others, who are taking the gifts of healing, messages of good news to those round about. Remember this, God never stops pouring out his love upon you. If you receive nothing else today, receive that. God loves you where you are now, at this moment, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're worrying about, God loves you. And if you have got worries, get them prayed for. Don't travel around carrying them all around the countryside. Be quick to go to God, whether it's sins or problems or difficulties, whatever. God knows. You're not going to surprise him by telling something he doesn't know. He loves you so much, he wants to restore that relationship with you. So I pray today that as we leave this place, we may go out with the love of God in our hearts, a tongue that's willing to praise God, to speak to God, to give back some of the love that he has given to us. Let's pray as we sit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for that truth that you're always willing to forgive us the things that we do wrong, the wrong thoughts, the wrong words, the wrong intentions. And Lord, we thank you that you don't give up on us. We thank you that you continue to pour out your love day by day upon each one of us. Help us, Lord, to live in the light of your love, that we may be good witnesses for you, that we may serve you with joy in our hearts, with love in our hearts, We may take the peace of God round about where we go, blessing people with a peace. So Lord, help us to grow and to be strong in you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses, not just today, but every day. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen. Stand and sing it together.
Under the shadow of his wing, we find security.
During our final hymn this afternoon, if you'd like to make a bring your offering into the collection pot here on the ground, please do so. We're going to stand and sing, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story."
God and fears possess me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's heart I often tread, but the Saviour still is with me. By his hands I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over. All my joys in him complete. As I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, sing
So let's bless one another in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love,
and
of,
the
God,
love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The manor house, as you probably know, is not available, but there's some refreshments out here. If you'd like to bring them back in here and eat them or go out into the sunshine, just feel free, okay? Hopefully next week it'll all be working again.